In 1995, I was wrongfully arrested, and in 1997, I was convicted of a first-degree murder that I had nothing to do with.
On June 14th, 2012, Lorenzo Johnson, whose wrongful conviction was finally overturned by a federal appeals court, turned himself in to go back to prison, again serving out his sentence of life without parole for a murder in 1995 that he insists he did not commit. Johnson's claim of innocence had sanction from the appeals court. After serving more than 15 years of his sentence, with a trail of paper and proceedings through both the federal and state court systems, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit decided that the state had failed to prove his guilt and ordered him released. After his release, his case went before the U.S. Supreme Court, which ordered him back to prison the following year. We'll be covering this case in depth over the next few weeks as we discuss the details with Lorenzo Johnson from the Frackville, Pennsylvania prison where he's currently held. We spoke with him this past Sunday to get some of the basics.
I was in the state when it took place, and it took place in Pennsylvania, and I was in New York. And they had used a witness that was a crack abuser, you know, to put me on the scene because I have a co-defendant, you know, and I was labeled as an accomplice. And to make a long story short, I went through a whole bunch of the appeal process, and a lot of my witnesses was threatened by the police, and a lot of evidence was never turned over to my defense. So in 2011, the highest federal court in Pennsylvania, the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, granted my appeal, and I won on the grounds of insufficient evidence.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
And I won on the grounds of insufficient evidence, which is equivalent to a not guilty verdict. So they had to discharge me. So my life sentence was vacated. I went back to New York. You know, I started working. I started speaking at colleges and the community centers and stuff like that about wrongful convictions. And all the while, the prosecution had one appeal left to the United States Supreme Court in Washington. So while this was taking place on May 29th, 2012, the United States Supreme Court came back with a decision reinstating my conviction on a technicality. So what happened was, you know, I had to turn myself back in on June 14th, 2012. I came back in, and me and my legal team, we started, you know, a top to bottom once again investigation, you know, on my innocence and in the whole case as a whole. And we came up for 18 years that, you know, the police department and the district attorney office, well, the attorney general, because that's who prosecutes this case, they were withholding evidence that would show corruption in my innocence all this time, and we never knew about this.
Wow.
So, you know, we've got an appeal pending now as of August 13th, 2013, that's pending in front of my trial judge with all type of new evidence. Even evidence that clears me. So, you know, we're waiting for, we got a file next week, and then after next week, we'll be waiting for a decision for a hearing.
Let me ask you a question. In the original conviction, was the fact that they convicted you, despite the fact that you were out of the state, because of malice or just incompetence and negligence? In other words, did they have it out for you, or were you just handy and they needed somebody?
Yeah. It was a little of both. They needed somebody. It was a malicious prosecution from day one. Like, you know, even right now, they fighting me tooth and nail. You know, it took them 2 years to file a reply to our appeal I just told you about. And on Christmas Eve, 2014, they just filed their, you know, their reply. And then they reply.
This call is subject to recording and monitoring.
And their reply, they said that, you know, I have unleashed the defamatory dogs from hell on them. And in reality, it's like, you know, if you don't, who's gonna have you do your job? You understand what I'm saying?